Hey there, and welcome to episode number 11 of Become a Guitarist Today with myself, Adam Roach. In this podcast, I talk to Dave Leslie from The Baby Animals. We talk about his time supporting Van Halen, supporting Kiss when he was in the band Dead Daisies. He also demonstrates some great little exercises on the guitar. So let's go over to the interview now with Dave and find out just how old he was when he first started playing guitar.
I was 9 years old when I started playing guitar. I graduated from the tennis racket. I used to stand in front of the TV with a tennis racket and watch these shows like this early 70s and late 60s, Bandstand and stuff like that. And there was a show on the ABC called GTK, and it had Billy Thorpe, and it was like a black and white sort of thing. Got the vibe from that, really. I used to stand there in front of the TV with a tennis racket. My mum's thinking, I think he might be trying to tell us something, you know? So 1974 was. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Similar to myself, but I was on the squash racket.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, you had this.
Yeah, my brother and I, he was a huge Kiss fan. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Just got the squash rackets out and had the little cut out, the flying V.
Squash rackets are more, you can shred on a squash racket.
Yeah. That's right. That's good. So when you first started, did you go to a teacher or teach yourself?
I went to a teacher.
Yep.
This fella up on the New South Wales Central Coast, Warren Target.
Okay.
And we just went through the basics. And I was kind of glad in retrospect that we didn't do the note reading, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star stuff straight away.
Yeah.
We did chords and songs.
Mm.
And, you know, so I kind of built up my chord kind of repertoire early on, those kind of building blocks, E, A, D, G, C, B, 7 minors,
yeah,
all that sort of stuff. I think, and that got me playing a little quicker than I, you know, a lot of the more formal note reading sort of stuff does. So I was really fortunate with that. I struggled with it for the first year or so. You know, a mate of mine started at the same time, and he really powered, and I really struggled.
Yeah.
And but anyway, sort of got there eventually.
So do you think that was more due to like practice time, or just everyone's different picking up?
I don't know, just picking up stuff. Didn't think I was that slow on the uptake, but anyway. But once I got the changes, it was just hard changing shapes.
Yeah.
You know, but once you get the changes between the shapes, and you start to get that, and your fingers remember the shapes and jumping on that, then it's, you know, yeah, then it becomes a lot easier, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably one of the things I do with my students when they do chords straight away, is just to really getting the brain to the fingers to say, okay, you know, if I'm going A minor to C, it's just that one finger, you know, to change, rather than taking it all off and, oh, there it is, you know.
Economy of movement kind of thing.
Just yeah.
You got like an easy plan of this stuff to do. Yeah.
And I find, yeah, once the kids get that, and it's, I mean, except if you're going like a G to an F, you know, a different story.
Well, once you hit F, you know, that was like a completely different, once we hit bar chords, it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
You got, you know, a million times harder, but you get there eventually, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's always the tricky one, you know, the F, I mean, for the kids to start with.
Yeah, it is. I struggled on it, but it pays off. It really pays off.
Yeah. So how long would you practice for when you first got into it each day?
Probably between 20 and 40 minutes, I'd say.
Yeah.
I was really into it. You know, I sort of, even though I struggled earlier on, I just loved it. I just loved the whole idea. I love the escapism of it, where you can just sit and play something on a guitar and you can just disappear from the day.
Yeah, you know,
I probably still do that a little bit too often and, you know, still practice heaps. But, yeah, probably between 20 and 40 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, and then when you just slowly built that up as years went by?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, some days these days I don't practice at all.
Yeah,
you know, so life and kids and everything like that get in the way. And
yeah, for sure.
You see the guitar in the corner and you think, oh, I'll get to you eventually.
Yeah.
But, I just liked it. I just liked the way it sounded, you know. So I was never had to be told to practice.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So who inspired you to play guitar?
When we started doing chords and stuff like that, it was initially my guitar teacher, and we learnt songs really early on.
Yeah.
And then I went to his mate. So I was going to two teachers at one point, and he's the lead guitar player in his band. Started teaching me Status Quo songs.
Okay.
And that was it. And so for me, Francis Rossi's the guy.
Yeah.
Which is kind of kind of cool because we're doing this rock cruise in a couple of months, or in about a month or so, and Status Quo.
Oh, really?
Is happening, and Francis Rossi's going to be on it. So, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to hopefully, you know, get a chance to chat to him about that.
Yeah, that would be excellent.
But, yeah, when I started doing, he taught me, you know, the box-shaped pentatonic kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know. Sort of thing, roll overlay down.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's pretty, it's blues based and it's melodic, but it's relatively straightforward as far as it's just really well played, you know.
Yeah.
And that was a big influence. Yeah, definitely.
So can you remember the first song you learnt? Like, can you play a bit of the first song you learnt?
Is it EB7?
Okay.
Take me for a ride in your car, car. Take me for a ride in your car, car, take me for a ride, take me for a ride, take me for a ride.
Hey, that's
good. Ah, yeah, man, three chords and the truth.
Yeah, yeah. I never heard that song before, but that's cool.
Oh, that's a hit. Yeah.
I'll have to look into that one.
EA and B7.
Yeah, yeah.
B7 was always a bit of a killer.
Yeah.
You know, got it eventually.
Yeah, it's usually like the first one where you get to use all the four fingers.
Yeah, the whole lot, everyone, and there's all those, you know, the breaks in between there and everything, but yeah, we got there eventually.
Now, just a little question. When you first learnt your G, did you do it with the, like, the third finger down the bottom or the two fingers?
The single finger down the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I mean the flat.
Oh, yeah.
But then I don't know where I... No one officially taught me to put the D in there as well on the third finger, but... That's a nicer. I kind of like the fifth rather than the third on it, you know?
Yeah.
And then you change the, you go, you know, across to your C at 9, F.
Yep.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I find it's always good. And it's, like I said, it does sound good too. Like when you're first learning, you can do that easy change those fingers down. It actually sounds like a song rather than pause, go to the full C chord, the little G chord.
Yeah, it's just got that drone, that...
Yeah.
It's just nice. It's a story. It tells a story.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. Oh, very good. So have you ever taught guitar?
I used to teach a bit, on and off over the years. Yeah.
Okay.
I really enjoyed teaching your basics, your EAD, those sort of stuff, the open chords, because when the penny drops, you see the kid, that light bulb moment.
Mm.
You go, you know, you can use it in songs like this, 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 and this. And I go, oh, wow. It's like, that's the building block. That's the real deal, that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And that was a really satisfying moment. I kind of enjoyed that more than the more advanced stuff, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And it reinforced it for me too.
Yeah.
This is the good gear.
Yeah. No, excellent.
And always taught rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
Because rhythm's really important. I think it's, you know, overlooked. Being a good rhythm player is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said you had those two teachers that you were alternating between.
Mm.
Was that your other teachers, or you have anyone else after that?
I'd stuck with them for a while, on and off. And then my year 12, I did music for my year 12.
Yep.
Year 11 and 12. And this guy, Mr. Patterson, from the entrance high school, was the first dude I knew that had a Fender Stratocaster.
Oh,
right. Well, wow. And occasionally he'd let us look at it. And he was a great guitar player too, good writer, and just great all-round musician. And he was a big influence as well.
Mm.
He turned me on to, he was more jazz
kind
of thing. He also had a fantastic Gibson Les Paul recording too, which was an interesting guitar. But yeah, so jazz stuff and voicings and things like that. So that exposed me to a lot of different sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I learned from Don Andrews for a little while, the guy that writes the jazz books.
Yep.
I'm not sure if he's, I don't think he's with us anymore, but he's a really legendary Australian jazz guitar player, sort of in the Don Burrows.
Yeah.
George Goller used to hang out with those cats. Yeah. That was good. It was a bit above my head though, you know, I was going through a big punk phase.
Yeah.
At the time. I was seeing Don with these lessons and it wasn't a drag. It was just a bit too challenging.
Yeah.
I don't think I was mature enough to understand what was going on at the time, you know?
Yeah, no, it's very similar to myself. Like I started when I was 9, but really got into it when I was 12. My brother was a drummer, so he, you know, did all the Metallica, Van Halen, whatever else,
Oh, right. Okay.
and
My brother was a drummer too.
oh, really? Okay.
We always had a kit in the house.
Actually, we've got a lot in common, actually, because my brother and I, we had a band called Eclipse back in '89. We had a female singer up front, Lisa Astor, and we were like that rock top 40 type thing. And we're just trying to make it get around. And then this other band came out at the same time called Baby Animals. So, it was like, put it on the side. But I remember when you guys came out, like, oh no, we're too late. And then we actually ended up doing, we never gigs, but we did like a Baby Animals tribute band called Maybe Animals.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, but didn't really do much with it. But doing that though, it was great just learning all your guitar parts and just to find out exactly what you did. And, it was pretty tricky, some of the stuff. And especially for my
Oh, thank
brother, I know.
you.
On the drums too, it's crazy. But yeah, it really made me appreciate your playing and get right into it. So it was really good.
Oh, thanks for saying so, brother. That's cool.
No, definitely.
Appreciate that.
I mean
I was
some.
still trying to learn. I was still I listening back to that, I still think I was kind of still finding my feet, sort of trying to get a bit of an identity. I listen back to it and cringe sometimes, but I get where it's coming from. My solos aren't as notey these days or anything like that. I feel like I can say a lot more with less going on, sort of more concentrating on what the notes sound like rather than trying to fit so many of them in.
Yeah,
Play the important ones.
that's right. Yeah, because I mean, for me, learning the songs, wrote a little list here. My favorite ones to play, probably Working for the Enemy, Waste of Time, and One Too Many.
Oh, cool, man.
They're great. So, do you have any favorite songs, like Baby Animal songs, you prefer to play or like to play?
I don't have any least favorite, that's for sure. I kind of they all, you know I enjoy playing the gigs, and they're all always good fun. I kind of like Enemy. Yeah, I just like that cascade, that thing, that when the band arcs up and it's live and everything like that, it becomes greater than the sum of its parts. It takes you on, it's a journey, and I kind of like the place where it takes you kind of thing. Those sort of riffs and stuff like that I really enjoy. And when we all jump on the one riff and in there, and Eddie's got his octave pedal going, all that sort of thing. Sounds like a jumbo jet taking off, That's cool. Good fun.
Now, was Susie playing guitar back then? Sure, wasn't she, when you guys first
Yeah, she
started?
was. She didn't play on any of the recordings just for ease of expediency kind of thing, Oh, she did do the solo in Stupid on the second record.
Oh, really?
That was Susan's solo. It was great. We cranked it up on an EV8 through a 5150 and wound it up, and she laid that one down, one take.
So did you teach her how to play, or she already knew how to play?
We used to swap ideas and stuff like that, but she could already play when I met her, She's a better guitar player than she gives herself credit for, actually.
Oh, really?
She's got a great rhythm player. Sometimes she gets a bit distracted with singing and having to be the front person, and occasionally we'll just stop in the middle. But she's really good. She's a great rhythm guitar player.
Oh, excellent. Now, going back to your lead playing when you first started improvising. So, did you pretty much just do that yourself, or your teacher said, hey, try all these things out?
Once I got my head around the pentatonic, I had a couple of sessions with this other guy, Laurie Minson from Tamworth. He's an amazing guitar player too, Aussie guy, does a lot of country stuff. And he just taught me, in bends and a few sort of things. And once I got the importance of bends and vibrato, and listened to Ian Moss, Kevin Borich, and their vibrato is like to die for, man. And so once you get your head around the big bends, and then that vibrato, kind of the Jeff Beckie thing, and then I just went for it and spent hours or years exploring that shape and exploring the possibilities and getting weird, trying to get different sounds and what sounds good and what doesn't, and there's a lot of stuff that doesn't, but there's a real lot of stuff that does. And then you realize that you can all stuff that doesn't kind of can sound good anyway, depending on what you put after it. But I think I'm really concentrating, I still do nearly on a daily basis, is getting good sounding notes, getting stuff. just stuff that sounds good, you know. It doesn't have to be that complicated, but it's got to have a big kind of tone about it, you know.
Yeah, sure. So do you have any favourite blues players?
I kind of like the English blues guys, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, sort of thing. You know, the live Cream, that Clapton stuff, just the it's kind of sharp. He bends it to really edgy, but that tone that he has and just those hands, that's really, I love that. And early Jeff Beck, that first record, 1967, I think, Truth, is a killer. There's some amazing guitar playing on it. Well, blues bass, you know, or stuff that wasn't too complicated for you to understand.
Yep.
You know, I tried to get into other stuff like Alan Holdsworth and stuff like that, but I couldn't get my head around where it came from, what they were thinking when they were doing it. I mean, I wish, it still eludes me a little bit. I wish I had a greater knowledge of it.
Yeah.
But just the blues guys, you know, conveying that feeling. Leslie West from Mountain, I really like his stuff as well.
Yeah. How about people like Robin Ford, those guys?
Oh, yeah, Robin Ford. Yeah. Because it's that tone.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to the Talk to Your Daughter record and it's that big, fat tone. You know, it just plays one note and you go, oh, wow. It makes you feel something. You know, you think, well, I want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, love Robin Ford as well. I love his sixth. He uses a lot of... It's like...
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Sort of stuff, yeah.
So do you have any, like, favourite exercises you like to play yourself, or do you have, like, even before, like, a gig or something, warm up?
The first one I ever learned, and it still works today, is just the chromatic, the from open E, first finger on first, second on second, third on third, fourth on fourth, next string. That always... You know, that's my favourite warm-up.
Yeah, yes.
It's the first thing I ever learned, and it still works today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, same as me, I always use that one. Just, like I said, just gets all the fingers going. So pretty much if you do that all the way down the fretboard at the end of the 12th, like, I mean, the way I usually do it, you know, you do the forward going all the way down. And
And
as soon as you get to the bottom, there you go. Go back up.
Oh, and then you do it fret by fret.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All the way down to the 12th, and you find the time you finish that, fingers already go, you're used to the different combinations, you know, because I find that's probably a big thing with more of the teenage tunes I have, you know, they get you those two fingers happening, just say first and third, and once it's time to get that fourth in, they struggle a little bit.
Yeah.
But doing something like that exercise, it really helps.
Everyone gets a workout, you know, and fourth is really important. I mean, I did a few lessons with Doug Rappaport a little while ago, and he's a monster guitar player, but he very rarely uses his fourth, but still gets away with it. But I always try to sort of incorporate the fourth in there. And you get like Kevin Borich, who bends with his fourth.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's like, he just bends with that sucker. So, I mean, I think it's really important. It's like 25% of your capacity.
Yeah.
Is your fourth, you know? Yeah.
So as far as now, what you're up to? I know you've got that other gig coming up, the status quo thing. What else you got?
A bit of fun. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of Baby Animals coming up next year, which is good. We're on a Red Hot Summer tour. We're recording at the moment, writing and recording. Hopefully do an EP by the end of the year.
Oh, good.
And just have something out. You know, we're not the world's most prolific writers, but, we're going for quality, not quantity kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just lots of touring.
Yeah.
Lots of touring, lots of work.
With the Baby Animals, are you the main songwriter, sorry, the music writer?
It's all from Suz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Suz contributed, you know, she's a songwriter.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. I'm a guitar player.
Yeah.
Who tries to write, you know, or throw musical ideas. I set stuff up at home and aim that at her sort of thing, you know, and between the two of us, we finish it off, which is kind of good. Yeah.
Okay. So how far are you into it now with the album?
Getting there. We're getting there.
Still
got stuff to do, stuff to finish and everything like that. Sure, man.
Oh, that's what I want to talk to you too. Yeah, about the touring with Van Halen. As you can see, that's one of my favourite bands.
Oh, yeah, I noticed by the backdrop.
Now, how was that?
That was amazing. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yep. The tour consisted of like there was, what, 10 semi-trailers worth of gear. There was 8 buses worth of people.
Mm.
It was a machine. It was like a juggernaut, you know, this thing. And even from the first night, they were, we couldn't have been treated any better on that run.
Yeah.
We really got a good run with it. Nice fellas, nice guys. We spent a lot of time hanging out.
Yeah.
Ed would always be coming to our room jamming and stuff like that.
Oh, well.
It was pretty cool, you know. Yeah, it was really good.
That would have been amazing.
It was a dream come true.
Yeah,
It was literally a dream come true, yeah.
So you grew up on Van Halen as well?
Oh, yeah. The reason why my first guitar teacher got his mate involved, his lead guitar player, because I took a cassette copy of Van Halen 1 and I played him Eruption.
Okay.
I said, can I do this? Well, not from me, you can't. Okay, cool. He goes, maybe this guy might know. So when the second guy sort of came on board, he listened to it, and he goes, well, we kind of got to start from the beginning here.
Yep.
Let's not jump straight into that because it's way too advanced. I still can't play the damn thing. You know, it's been 40 years.
Yeah. Actually, this had the anniversary, I think, this week.
This week?
I think, right. Yeah, they had on Facebook, I saw Wolfgang was playing it, you know, for real.
Oh, I saw that too, yeah. It still sends shivers down my spine, man. There's moments where it's just, it's otherworldly, that piece. It really is. Yeah, it's a freak.
Yeah.
And to hear it play night after night and different variations of it and just be sitting in Ed's bunker, because he had 2 quad boxes going in his bunker as well, so that Matt, his tech, could listen to what was going on stage in case there was, you know, anything, anomalies going on.
Yeah.
And to listen to that, get the opportunity to listen to that, you know, 60-plus times, night after night, it's a dream come true. Yeah.
So,
great guitar player, man, far out.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he's a legend, you know.
Yeah. So I know you said he come and jam with you guys. Did he ever, show you something, like a little lesson or just more jamming?
Every time I asked him to show me something, he wouldn't show it to me. He's like, get out of here, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to show you anything. I'm like, oh, come on, dude. Throw me a bone here. I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah.
But he was just in his jamming.
Yep.
It's so him. Even with, you know, on Susie's telly through a little PV practice amp, it sounded just like him.
Yeah.
Just it's in the hands, you know. That's, you can talk about gear and everything till the cows come home, but it sounded like Ed Van Halen when I plugged into his rig.
Mm.
On the occasion when sort of, you know, we'd get there early, we'd get there every time because we were on a bus and they were on a plane, sort of thing. So we'd roll in to the stadium and stuff like that early. And there was a couple of occasions where I got a chance to play through his rig, and it sounded just like me. Just really loud. I think here it goes, you know, I'll find the secret, and the secret is in the hands, in the whole approach.
He also, he gave you a Music Man, didn't he? Is that right?
He did, yeah.
So you still have that?
Yeah. Oh, of course I do, yeah. It's hidden away, man.
Yeah. Oh, well, that would have been great.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was we did 2 legs of this tour, and it was the last night of the first leg. And he would, because he's always walking into our room and everything like that, you know, just it's casual. The whole place was like, there's no kind of restrictions. We got on so well and we're so well looked after that we could always go into their room and ask them stuff or whatever, you know, or whatever.
Be
really cool, you know. So we just walked into our room with a case and sort of, you know, gestured over and said, hey, come and have a look. Come and look at this.
Mm.
Check this out. I'm like, okay. It's this Red Music Man in this case. I said, oh, cool, man. Is that your new guitar? And he goes, no, it's your new guitar.
Wow.
Cool, man. That's cool. Really. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
I bring it out every so often, you know, give it a hit.
It's
a great guitar. Yeah. Because, I mean, the following, you know, 4 or 5 years, I played the crap out of it. You know, it's like, I think it needs a refret now. The frets have kind of worn down and everything like that. I haven't had the heart to sort of mess with it, you know.
Yeah.
But it does need a bit of a refret. Yeah. But it's cool. It was a pretty cool moment. Yeah. It was really good.
Very jealous.
Me too.
Now you also with the Dead Daisies, you supported Kiss on the was that the cruise tour or just the.
Language. That was just a tour around Australia.
Oh, okay, yep.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. We I think Richard Fortas had a bit of a mishap on his motorbike.
Mm.
like a week before or something. And then so I just got this call. So you're busy in a week's time or so? I'm like, no, I'm sort of free. Great. Mm. Here's a list of songs. I grabbed the set list and recordings of the songs. Had a Skype session with Richie, which was really cool. Mm. Lovely fella, yeah. Great player. And then just jumped on board. It was awesome.
Yeah. Is that with John Stevens?
No, that was with John Corabi.
Oh, okay, yep. Yeah.
Great, good band. Great. It was great to see Kiss night after night as well, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, supporting Van Halen, Kiss, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, I've had a couple of lucky runs, you know. We did a run with Robert Plant as well, with Baby Animals, and Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams was our first big tour through Europe. That was massive. That was really good. Yeah, and everyone's nice, you know what I mean? It's funny. If people on that level, they're just nice as pie. They're real sweet people. Yeah, they got nothing to prove, you know what I mean? They're just... It's their gig. They're very, you know, usually very accommodating and make you feel right at home.
Yeah. I mean, great. Brett Garson actually said the same thing. He did the Paul Stanley solo tour.
Oh, right. So,
top nice guy. He said between him and John Farnham, Living and John, he's his top players. I mean, top people, but just amazing people, which really helps.
It does help. Yeah, because they've got nothing to prove. You know what I mean? Yeah. No point being nasty to people. They're in competition with no one.
Yeah. That's good.
Top of the food chain.
Yeah, that's right. So once you've got the new album out next year, so you plan on touring that around as well?
Yeah, we've definitely got to put some new stuff into the set.
Yep.
You know, you have to play all the old songs as well. Mm. But it's... always good. We've got all these tours coming up, these gigs and everything. So it's good to have forward momentum. You know, it's going to have new material out so that, you know, people can listen to it and just realize that, you know, it's an ongoing thing. Because if you're not releasing stuff, then it's nostalgia.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And so there's still life in the songwriting partnership, that's for sure. And, you know, the band in general. So. Mm. Let's do it, you know, release some stuff and keep moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. So do you get to try some of the songs out live, like while you're recording at the moment as well?
We'll probably get them. We haven't done anything live lately, new.
Yep.
Once we knock them into shape a bit more. I mean, it's not like the old days where you're playing four nights a week and you can start and doing supports and you can start, you know, throw a whole bunch of new stuff into the set because no one knows who you are anyway.
Yeah.
And road test it and try it out and then go in and record it. It's more the opposite now.
Mm.
We sort of put it all together, record it, then play it live and then release it kind of thing, you know? Yeah.
Oh, good. I mean, it does definitely change since the digital age, you know, releasing iTunes and everything else.
Yeah, for sure. Well, even doing a record, even doing an album these days, you know, it's still expensive and people tend to, you know, just pick the eyes out of it anyway. So I think we'll probably do maybe a 5 or 6 song EP.
Yep.
Of just the best stuff that we've got, you know, rather than putting filler in there or whatever and just release some good stuff and people just pick the eyes out of that, pick their favourites or whatever. I mean, I still buy albums and it's good, you know. I know that people still do, but I think the majority of them pick the eyes out of it or get it for nothing. So it's not much point sort of wasting too many resources on it, you know.
Yeah. That's really good. I'll look forward to hearing it.
Me too. I'm looking forward to having it finished.
Yeah,
but I guess in closing that it's playing guitar is the perfect outlet. It's a perfect vehicle. Mm. It's a great escape. It gets you through good times. It gets you through bad times. And a guitar will never give you shit. You know what I mean? It will never talk back to you. It never gives you a hard time. It maybe goes out of tune occasionally.
Yeah.
But a guitar, it's like a dog. You know what I mean? It will love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
I mean, I've treated my talent and my opportunities and the guitar badly, but it's never done it to me, sort of thing. So it's a lifelong friend.
Yeah, that's a good way to finish it.
Cool.
Well, hopefully, once the album's out, we can do it again and maybe in person next time.
For sure, that'd be good. Yeah, man, we'll find a cafe somewhere between yours and mine, you know?
Yeah.
Cool, really, man.
All right, well, thanks very much.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Dave.
No worries, man. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Okay, see ya.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Head on over to becomeaguitaristtoday.com. From there, you can become a member for only $40 and receive a free book, Become a Guitarist Today by Adam Roach. Also, from the original band Busted Up, their latest CD. You can also get access to the closed Facebook group, Become a Guitarist Today, where there are thousands of lessons updated weekly. And ask any questions you want, they will be answered. So head on over to becomeaguitaristtoday.com. That's all one word, becomeaguitaristtoday, no spaces, .com. I want to quickly thank two sponsors. The first one is Custom Guitar Picks, run by Gus. This is one of the quickest service you will find for custom-made picks. And you can do it all online. Design your own picks. Just head to customguitarpicks.com.au. There you can select the thickness of your pick, the color, what type of pick you want. You can also upload your own artworks, then submit it online, and it's all done. You can also check out the different categories of other picks to choose from. The other sponsor is Guitar World, run by Mick. Guitar World used to be a shop in the High Street, Northcote. Now Mick is concentrating on repairs, services, and setups. So Mick has been doing all my services for the past 20 years on all my guitars, and every time I get it back, it feels like a brand new guitar. So call Mick on 0476 937 025. So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dave. Now, don't forget, I won't be here for the next 2 weeks, so we're going to have 2 weeks off the podcast, but I'll be back in October. So hopefully I'll see you guys back here in mid-October. So until then, keep jamming.